Father, we come to you and we thank you because you're the giver of life. And Lord, we thank you because our strength comes from you. And Lord, remind us tonight that this life is not about us, but it's all about you, Lord. So reveal yourself to us. Father, we pray that you would rain down on us, Lord. That you would open our hearts and our minds. And we'd see you for who you really are, Lord, not what we want you to be. So be God in this place tonight, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I was at a county fair, and have you ever been to a county fair? Not necessarily this county, any county. 1,000 people there, 50 set of teeth. I mean, you know, you've been there, right? And they randomly picked a couple of people out of the crowd. And what they did with one person is they gave them this big hammer, and you had to hit the thing, right, and make the bell ring. Are you with me? Because I have no idea what I'm talking about. And then the other person, if that person rang the bell, both of them got like $50. So I was the guy they picked, but not to use the hammer. If that guy made the bell ring, I got $50. And you never heard me root for somebody that I didn't know so hard in all my life. Why? Because if that guy did well, then I would do well, right? Wow, I imagine when I would say that, y'all would be like, yes! Yes. No, please. Please. I'm going to tell you, God is passionate for his glory. And I want you to know, and I'll just say if to keep the statement the same, if God does well and you are a follower of Jesus, then you do well. And so God is passionate for his glory. That's not selfish, as if you and I were passionate for our glory. It's different because he's sovereign, he's supreme, and when he does well, those of us who follow him do well. And I've got great news for you tonight. God is doing well. God is doing well. And his blessings flow. This is kind of the end of this January teaching that we've been doing, kind of highlighting what God's going to be doing in that building. And I want you to know, for all the things that will go on in that new building, the most important thing will be the praise of his name. That we'll teach children to praise his name. It's the most important thing. I want to thank you for the cards, the prayers, and the emails. Probably a lot of you know my brother-in-law's battle with brain cancer ended last week. And so many of you God spoke words to me through you, and I appreciate that. And tonight, I can't help but to be in somewhat of a reflective mood, and I just want to share some things that's related to what we've been talking about in January, and, you know, maybe it's kind of highlighted in my life right now. My brother-in-law passed away last Monday, and had just dropped the kids off from school, or at school, excuse me, and my wife called and said, Jim's gone. And so immediately I go back to school to get the kids. And as I'm in the office waiting, you know, I'm just battling those tears in the office. And my boys get there first, and they said, we're getting out of school today? And I said, yep. And they said, where are we going? And I said, Grayson County. And my youngest son said, yes. And my daughter came, and we walked out, and we got about halfway to the car in the parking lot, and my youngest son just said, Dad, and I turned around. I said, yes. He said, it seems like we're not going to Grayson County for a good reason. He said, is Uncle Jim more sick than he was? And I couldn't hold back the tears anymore. And I just started crying. And I said, Will, Uncle Jim's not sick at all anymore. My daughter said, do you mean he's in heaven? And I said, he sure is, honey. And she jumped in my arms, and she was crying, and she kind of pushed away, and she says, Daddy, Aunt JoJo said nobody wanted to go to heaven more than Uncle Jim. So we cried about halfway to Grayson County, and we talked, and this psalm has been on my mind. I want to share it with you tonight. God has ministered to me through a lot of people, through my children, it gives an even greater urgency, not only that we teach our children to praise God, but that we do that. Because I'm going to tell you, in a time like this, I don't have any words. I don't have any. And there were times I'd sit to pray, and there were no words there to pray And all I could do was just start praising Him. Psalm 147 says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him." It's pleasant and fitting to praise God because He desires the praises of His people. Now, this is an important thing, and we talked about this a lot here on Wednesday night. It's easy to praise God in certain places and much more difficult to praise Him in other places. And so whatever season, whatever step you're on in the journey, there is a desire from God for us to praise Him. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And so all these things that I preach about, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't experienced yet, I want you to know these promises are true. He heals the brokenhearted. He does that. God does that. Several things that it says here. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Have you ever been so hurt inside that you felt like there were wounds inside? Listen, God wrote this and God knew that there'd be times when we felt that way. God didn't write this because circumstances would spin out of His control and all He could do was just kind of help us through them. God knew every step of the way what we would experience, what we would face, and He knew sometimes our hearts would be broken, and He knew that there'd be times when there were wounds, and His promise wasn't that there wouldn't be heartbreak. His promise wasn't that there wouldn't be wounds. His promise was He would heal those places. Now, it might be tempting on a Wednesday night, we're all sitting in church, to say amen. But doesn't it beg a question? Don't you have a question when I say that? I mean, it's great that God heals the brokenhearted. But what are you thinking? Is there anyone honest here tonight? I'll tell you what I was thinking. Hey, God, why don't you just prevent my heart from being broke? Hello? Why don't you surround the circumstances that I'm in to prevent the wound from being there? Now, here's what the danger of me just now saying that, because all of you are kind of leaning up in your chair because you're waiting for this profound answer that I have why God doesn't do that. But I don't have one. I don't have one except this. We don't know how many heartbreaks that we didn't have because of His hand. And we don't know how many wounds we didn't have because of His hand. And that's why we praise Him. We're praising Him for things that we don't even know that He's done. And these moments, these times, they remind us that we don't belong here. We don't belong here. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounds. He determines, listen, this is awesome. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And so there are all these objections to God, and there are all these very smart people who have all these ideas about how all of this even came to be, the planet and all of those things, right? And there's all kinds of opinions about that. And I can tell you this, I wasn't here when God did it, so I'm not sure how He did it, but what He told us is that He spoke it into existence, and I believe it. It's a great place for an amen. God said He spoke it into existence, and I believe it, that He did that. Because it's by His very word. It's why you're here. It's why I'm here. Because of His very word. I mean, you think about this. This is a God who tells the snow when to fall. Right? This is a God who tells the snow how long to stay. And He tells it when to melt. And He tells the rain when to come. And the waters when to rise. And the waters when to recede. God does that because He is powerful. There's nothing more powerful than Him. He's worthy of our praise. This is God. This is God who does this. He determines the number of the stars.
He calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. This is a powerful God that not only that we serve, but if you're a follower of Jesus, this is a powerful God who loves you. Who loves you. And if he knows the star, right? He's numbered the stars and he knows each of them by name. Then there's no doubt how much more intimately he knows us and has a plan for each of our lives. And he's worthy of our praise. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. This is God. And over all things, he is sovereign. He is supreme. And so we go to him. In the midst of the heartbreak, in the midst of those wounds, we go to him. I want to tell you one thing tonight, that you can trust him. We talked a little bit last week that he is good, that God is good, and he desires good things for his children. Good things. And he will bring good things out of the heartbreak. And he will bring good things out of the wounds. We can trust him. We can trust him. You can trust him. I can trust him. He is over all things. It says in Colossians that all things were made by God and... anybody know the rest of that? All things are made by God and for God. Now think about that. All things are made by God and for God. And so that means this. God created you, but you need to know he created you for himself. Is that astonishing? Is that amazing that God created you and that he created you for himself? Man, I wish somebody told me that before I started dating. Right? Or you enter into marriage. And what do we tell young people all their lives? You know, you got to find that one person. Right? That God made for you. I mean, we say that to young people. And it is selling every one of them so short of why they were really created. Let me help you. You were not created for somebody else. Now, inevitably, when I say that, I get emails from people who don't like that. It's typically people that have been married 3 years or less. Because you still feel that way. I don't know how many of you know Bill and Julie Kratz. They're sitting in the back, but we had a humorous moment. Bill was sitting over here. Julie was on the other side, and they were worshiping. And I went to Julie, and I said, hey, is everything okay with you and Bill? She goes, is he here? I couldn't find him. I said, I just thought it was beautiful that you're having problems, but you're still in the house of the Lord, and you're still praising him, albeit on different sides of the room. Now, I've said all that. I don't know if they're having problems or not. If so, call me. Call me. No, they're fine. She just didn't know he was here. But you know, we teach young people that. But I'm going to tell you, we got to teach our young people that, one, they weren't made for this world. And if they weren't made for this world, then they were made for a world that is yet to come. And that means they belong to one and one only. And that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He created you for himself. That's what we teach our young people. You want to know who a great person is to marry? Somebody believes that they were created by God and for God. That's it. I know I told you several weeks ago, I heard a preacher say that a lot of young people come up and say, how did you know that your wife was the one? How did you know that? And he said, it's easy. I married her. And when you marry them, guess what they are? They're the one. You were created by God and for God. This is a psalm of praise, that he is worthy to be praised. And the one thing I started thinking about is you get to a place in your walk, you know, because I don't know that we ever get to a place in our walk where we always have the words in our prayers. I don't know that we ever get to that place. I think there are times when we sit to pray and the words just aren't there. And can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. That is okay. Because the Bible says, if you're a believer, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you when you don't even know what to pray. The Spirit prays for you. Why? Doesn't that make prayer seem different or odd? That the very one we're praying to is giving us the words to pray to Him? Listen. When God does well, if you're a follower of Jesus, you do well. And so God desires our praise and gives us the very words to praise Him with. So sometimes in my prayers, I don't have words. And sometimes the default words of prayer for me are words of praise. I want to thank you. Because you are so good. His love endures for a week. Seeing who's listening. Apparently not many people. Because if people are looking down, shaking their heads. Yeah. A week. Woo, keep going. His love endures forever. Forever. And it's not forever in the sense of 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years on the earth. His love endures for real ever. Is that a word? For real ever? You're welcome to use it. Just quote me. For real ever, which is for all of eternity. For all of eternity. Listen to what he goes on to say. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him. And I'm going to end with this verse. Who put their hope in his unfailing love. And so you get to that season. That season of brokenheartedness, that season of wounds, for whatever is going on that causes those things in our lives, those the part of the journey God walks us down. But our hope is still in Him. And it's amazing. Have you ever dreaded going through something? Like you've thought about it. Oh, I don't want to go through that, right? Anybody? Okay, all right, good. And then you had to go through it? And were you amazed? Maybe not a day later, maybe not a week later. Were you amazed the sweet things that God brought out of what we dreaded so much? I'm going to tell you right now. He's the only one you can trust. He's the only one who loves you eternally. He's the only one whose love endures. He's the only one. This building, we don't worship buildings around here. We believe that they are simply a means to an end. We want to reach as many children as we can, teach them the gospel, pray that God would save them. And that they would praise Him with their lives. Tonight, I don't know about you, I was kind of in the back and kind of reading through the psalm. And they were singing that song. And it just kind of overwhelmed me. That God is so good. He is so good. And I look back at the darkest times of my life, I know I've told you guys this before because I've got the emails to prove it because it made a lot of you mad. But I said that I hated the poem Footprints in the Sand. And I know you probably have it in your bathroom because that seems to be where people hang it. That's where I read it most when I'm visiting you. And I get it. I mean, I get what the writer is saying. Anybody know who the writer is? It's unknown. I just thought if you knew, I want to talk to you. I get the point of it. And if you don't know the poem, I don't know all of it. But at the very end, you know, this person is saying, you know, Lord, you were always there with me. But when I got to the deepest, darkest times in my life, I'm trying to think how it goes. There was only one set of footprints. And he says, oh, here, we have it on a keychain. Can you read that? You can?
Let me see your glasses. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. During those deepest, darkest times, there was only one set of footprints, as if the Lord had left that person. Where'd you go, God? And then the Lord replies, my child, it was during those times that I carried you. And we all say, oh, I hate that poem. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the deepest, darkest times of my life is when there were two sets of footprints, because I didn't need him to carry me. And I thought I could walk myself. I thought that I had the strength. I thought that I could get through it. So I'm out of his arms and I'm walking. All the best times are when there's one set of footprints. When he's carrying you, those are the best times. And he's worthy of our praise. I just want to close tonight. I just want to have a time of altar. Because I needed to be reminded of that. I needed to be reminded that he not only desires praise from my lips, but he desires praise from my life. I think we forget that. And I think sometimes we think praise from our lips makes up for a lack of praise from our lives. And that's a lie. That is not true. But that we praise him. You know, maybe you're like me a little bit tonight. And maybe your heart's broke tonight. Maybe there's some wounds that are there. I promise you this. His word is true. And he heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up the wounds. He does that. God does it. And you can trust him. And he is in all. He is over all. All things were created by God and for God. And I think it could be said as simply as this. He's created you to bring him praise. So tonight we're going to have a time of altar. I'm going to ask you tonight, bring your broken heart to the altar. Bring those wounds to the altar if that's where you're at. Because I'm going to tell you this, and I know this from experience, there's no other place you can take them. I've tried. There's no other place. And usually the things I try make my heart more broke and the wounds worse. But you can take them to him. And let me just say this and just be real and be honest. I'm not telling you if you come to the altar tonight and you bring your broken heart that when you stand up, everything's okay. Now, we know that everything is okay already because God is in control and because we can trust him. But it's a great step in living out a life of praise. So I'm going to invite you to come. If you're here tonight and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, I'm compelled to tell you tonight that only he can save you, that only he can forgive your sin. Nobody else can do that. Only God can do that. And wouldn't it make sense for the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, your creator, would alone have the power to heal your broken heart, to bind up the wounds, and even better than that, that he could save you, that he could do that. I mean, this God, let me tell you, the Bible teaches us that he came to the earth in the form of a man named Jesus. And he faced death on a brutal cross, right? And his blood was shed so that our sin could be forgiven. He does that. He does that. So I'd forgotten. I'd forgotten that he wants more than praise from my lips. And he wants that. Everybody with me? He wants that. But he also wants praise from my life. So maybe in your life right now, if you looked around, maybe there's two sets of footprints. Because you got a good idea of how things could work out if you did this or you did that. And you know what's incredible about this Savior? You jump out of his arms, if that's even possible. But for the poem's sake, we'll say it is. And you decide to go your own way and do your own thing, you can always come back to his arms. He's always there. And He loves you and He cares. Father, thank You for who You are. Lord, I thank You that whatever we go through, we never go through it alone, because You're there with us, encouraging us and challenging us. And Lord, we bring to You tonight our broken hearts and the wounds that are in our lives. And Lord, we simply ask You to do what You promised to do, to heal our hearts and to bind the wounds. We ask You to do that, Lord. I pray for those that don't know You tonight personally, and I pray that You would save them. I pray that You would do that, Lord. You would forgive their sin. So here we are, Lord, Your children. Hear our prayers and hear our praise. It's in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. Don't wait. Just come now.